So I want to speak today on this topic, while on others thou art calling. Lord, do not pass me by. Do not pass me by. You see, here in this gospel, we have a gospel about having tenacity, a stick-to-itness in prayer, and even when the results seem discouraging. This is also a gospel about the Lord's will to extend his salvation to the ends of the earth. And so let's take a look at this gospel in several stages. And the first stage, which might seem incidental, but it's actually very important, is take note of the travels of Jesus. The travels. So you'll note that the text says that at that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is not simply a nice little travelogue. By the way, the cedars are beautiful in Lebanon, you know. Tyre and Sidon are an area to the north of Israel, and it's modern-day Lebanon. And we see that the Lord has gone there, and Matthew points this out. You say, well, so what? And the answer is that this is a very significant going forth from Israel unto the other nations. As Jesus goes, he goes among the pagan people, among the Gentiles, and he begins to minister there. A very strange thing, really, for a Jewish Messiah to do. As you're probably aware, the racism of Jesus' day was about Jews and Gentiles. And Jews hated Gentiles. Gentiles, all non-Jews, hated the Jews. They returned the favor quite easily. And so we have here Jesus doing something, if you will, crossing to the other side of the railroad tracks. We see Jesus going among a people who are not his own. And so therefore we say, well, why then does Jesus do this? And I think it's very clear that the Lord is preparing the church, preparing his disciples and the church to move beyond race, to move beyond nation, to move beyond ethnicity, and to realize that the gospel is now to be a universal declaration to every man, woman, and child, that it needs to burst the bonds of merely the Jewish people and go now to all of the nations. I hear some of you getting happy. That's a good thing. Because we would not be here this morning if Jesus hadn't broken through the barriers, if Jesus hadn't crossed the railroad tracks and gone to the other side of town, we wouldn't be here today. And so it is that the church is what we call universal. And the word for that from the Greek is Catholic. The word Catholic means universal. That is to say that everyone is invited. There is no one to be excluded on account of race or national origin. There is no one to be excluded on account of any of these distinctions that we make. Everyone who will accept Jesus is invited. Now then, you might say that Jesus really needs to work on this piece, because how many of you know that racism is a hard thing to break? All right. It's a tough thing. And he's trying to lead the church. He takes them north into pagan territory, and he's going to need to teach them. But you know, it's a sad thing when you think about it, because all throughout the Old Testament, there was consistent teaching that the gospel would one day, that the would extend to all the nations, and that Israel would one day include people from every race and language, every place in the world. But you know, the Jewish people are not, at that time, were not so much unlike we are today. And that is to say, they had certain scriptures they knew very well, and certain scriptures they had, shall we say, forgotten. Or they said, well, you know, let's, and they would parse it and rationalize it. But in the end, I want to say to you that the ministry, the outreach to the Gentiles, is something that Jesus is doing in fulfillment of the Old Testament. Not just a newfangled idea. Let me read you some text. The first one you already heard today. from Isaiah in the 56th chapter simply says this: foreigners, that's us, foreigners who join themselves to the Lord and minister to Him, loving the name of the Lord and becoming His servants, all who keep the Sabbath free from profanation and hold to my covenant, these too will I bring to my holy mountain and make so that they may make joyful in my house of prayer. Are you joyful today? And their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar. For my house will be a house of prayer for all people. Amen? Now, that's no newfangled idea that Jesus came up with. That goes all the way back to the prophet Isaiah. God himself had already been teaching the Jewish people that one day their number, the number of the chosen people of God, would include the Gentiles. Another one from also Isaiah in the 49th chapter. I will make you, Israel, to be a light to all the nations so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Where's the ends of the earth? That's right here. We're the ends of the earth. Praise God. Likewise, from the book of Psalms in the 87th chapter, the 87th Psalm says that Babylon and Egypt will I count among those that know me. Church, you need to understand something. Babylon and Egypt were enemies of Israel. Babylon and Egypt I will count among those who know me. Philistia, Tyre, that's where the Lord is today, and Ethiopia. All these will be her children, and Zion, Israel, in other words, shall be called mother, for she will be their mother. Are you praying with me? One chosen people, now consisting of both Jews and the rest of us, Gentiles. And again, from Isaiah 66, I, the Lord, will gather nations of every language, and they shall come and see my glory. Some of these I will even take as priests. Levites, says the Lord, all mankind shall come and worship before me. So you see, the Lord, in going forth to Tyre and Sidon, in going into Gentile territory, is saying to his disciples, do you see the gospel that I am announcing? I am going to send you to the ends of the earth. And what would be his parting words? Go, therefore, unto all the nations and teach them everything I've taught you and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples of every one of them. A great commission. Now, that's then you see the vision here of why it's significant that we don't just overlook, oh, by the way, he was up in Tyre and Sidon. Not what stopped the tape. Not, oh, by the way, whoa, he's in Tyre and Sidon. And again, we got to grasp something important here to understand. We have to understand this fundamental point so that we can begin to understand the rest of this gospel. And we begin to understand that Jesus is going to be tough on this woman. You heard the gospel, I believe, effectively proclaimed. And it said that he was pretty tough on her. What's going on here? And we begin to see with this introduction that Jesus is calling out her faith. It's a kind of a rhetorical device that he's using to call her out in faith, to call her to a deeper faith, and to call his disciples, pay attention, to repentance. So let's take, with that in mind, let's take this woman's journey. We've seen Jesus travels, and I want you to notice the first step in this woman's journey is torment. Torment. The gospel says here, behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came out and called, have pity on me, Lord, son of David, for my daughter is tormented by a demon. Now, it is a sure fact that Canaanites hated Jews, and Jews returned the favor. What would cause a Canaanite woman to call out to a Jewish preacher and ask his mercy, call him Lord, Show him respect and call him Lord and call upon his mercy. What would cause a woman to break past the hatred she was trained to have, to break past the barriers that society had set up, that Jews did not speak to Canaanites, Canaanites did not speak to Jews. They were to have nothing to do with each other. What would cause a woman to break past all of this and to take the risk? And in a word, in one word, the answer is desperation. Desperation. You know, the Lord sometimes has to draw us to work together. You know, the Lord says, you know, all y'all are pretty stupid down there. You like to divide yourselves up between us and them. Maybe it's about race you divide up over, or maybe it's about ethnicity, or maybe it's about economic class, or maybe it's about politics. You're all divided up in your little groups, and you got your hands, your arms crossed, and you're not talking to each other. Well, one solution I have, one little arrow in my quiver that I have, is to bring you all to desperation and make you break through and start working together. Because you know, sometimes when there's a common enemy, we all draw together, even if it's just for a minute. You remember 9/11? We were all Americans that day. See, but then you see what happens, you know, and we do it. And I'm not saying there aren't legitimate issues that we have to differ over, but I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, the Lord says every now and again, you just got to remember, you have one common enemy, and his name is the devil. And if you will begin to understand that you have this common enemy, you're going to begin to discover greater unity. So it is, this woman's desperation makes her reach past race and nationhood and ethnicity and hatred, cry out, Jesus, Jesus, Lord, sir, have mercy on me. My daughter is tormented, and I am tormented. And so it is, the first stage in her journey, what makes her reach out to a very unusual person, the person you would least expect her to reach out to, what makes her do that is her torment. Now, next comes a very strange part of the gospel. There comes next the test. The test. She's tormented. And then she's tested. Listen to what the text says. You heard it, but let's review. She cries out, but the text says, but Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, send her away. She keeps calling out after us. So he said to her in reply, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he says, it is not right for me take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Dogs! It's shocking to hear these things come out of Jesus' mouth, amen? Jesus, the one who reached out to Samaritans. Jesus, the one who praised Gentiles for their faith. Jesus, who himself has said, we're going up to Tyre and Sidon. He himself has put himself among the Gentiles. And then he acts like this towards a woman who reaches out. In a way, brothers and sisters, first of all, the most common understanding of what's happening here, and remember, we've done our homework. Jesus does not hate the Gentiles. He loves them. And he's preparing the church to send the gospel. But the first thing Jesus is doing is he's calling out her faith. He's summoning her faith. And trying to strengthen it. We're going to return to that theme a little later. Now, the next thing I think he's also doing is in taking up the voice of the oppressor, in taking up the voice of hatred and racism, Jesus is also summoning his disciples to some repentance. They said to him, tell her to go away. Okay, here's what you all sound like. Get away from me, you dog. Get away from me. I'm not going to take the food of children and give it to dogs. He takes up their very voice and announces it as if to say, this is what you sound like. So he's summoning them to repentance, and he's calling out her faith. There's an old saying that things do by opposition grow. Things do by opposition grow. And so in this test, Jesus is growing her faith, and possibly that of the bystanders as well, and his disciples. And just like an athlete only grows strong through challenges and through difficult contests, or a musician only becomes perfected through playing more and more difficult pieces, so it is that Jesus is drawing. She has faith, but he's drawing out stronger faith and strengthening her faith and testing it to see how real and true it is. Will she turn back toward hatred? Will she simply rebuke him, go away resentfully, and take no for an answer? Or will she stand firm and reach through and continue to break through the barriers that she's begun to do? Is her faith only for a moment, or is it a strong faith that's going to see her through her whole life? Jesus is testing her faith, drawing her deeper. You see the vision. Now, she's not the only one that God has tested. Sure, anyone here been tested? Anyone ever feel like you call out to God and he said not a thing? Have you ever felt like, I sometimes think, Lord, you treat the dogs better than you treat me. My neighbor's dog lives in a better house than I live in, has better health than I do. You ever feel that way? You ever get angry? And so it is that we too have been tested. And the question is, will you turn away? Just be resentful and angry? Close God off in anger? Or will you stay the course? And not only have we been tested, but God tested Abraham. God tested Jacob and Moses and Joseph and Job and Esther and Judith and Gideon and Susanna and countless others in the scriptures. We've all been tested. The test is important because our faith is important and God wants to strengthen it. Now, then you see, here are the questions. Will this woman press through to the end, or will she go away discouraged? So we've seen her torment. We've seen her test. Now comes her tenacity. Her tenacity. She says, Lord, she says, help me. Help me. Even the dogs get scraps from their master's table. I'm not going to engage all the racial hatred that's being evoked here. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. All I know is my daughter is suffering and I am suffering. Lord, help me. Help me. She's bold and she stays in the conversation. She doesn't go away angry. She stays. She works with the Lord. The Lord works with her. Are you willing to stay in the conversation with the Lord? Sometimes we don't understand God. We feel rejected by him. We're angry. We're upset. We say, if only one more thing happens, I'm going to fall to pieces. And not only one more thing, but 10 more things happen. Will you stay in the conversation? Or will you go away angry? Oh, this woman has tenacity. She's not going to give up. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. She's like Mother Mary at Cana, who did not even pause for a moment when Jesus seemed dubious of her request to make more wine. She gave him a look that only a mother can give a son. And all we know is Jesus went on to make 50 gallons of the stuff, all right? This woman is like the widow before the judge. Jesus told that parable, remember, of the woman. The widow who went to the judge day after day and said, I demand justice from you against my opponent. And day after day, the judge said, go away, old woman. Day after day, she kept coming back. And finally, the judge says, I better render for this woman or she'll end by doing me violence. This woman is like the blind man at the side of the road who cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd said, shut up, be quiet. And he kept crying all the louder. And Jesus turned and cured him of his blindness. This woman is like those parents who brought their children, their little children, to Jesus so that he could touch them. And the disciples scolded them and tried to tell them to take their crying babies away. And Jesus became indignant and said, bring them to me. The parents didn't give up. This woman is like Zacchaeus, who, though hindered by his height, overcame it by climbing a sycamore tree. This woman is like that woman with a hemorrhage, who, though weakened, worked her way through the crowd, saying, if only I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she went through to the end and took the risk and touched his robe and was healed. She is like those lepers who were told to stay out of town, but when they heard Jesus was in town, they stood at a distance and said, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on us. And Jesus turned and healed them. They broke every rule, but they said, I've got to see Jesus, and I will not go away until he turns to me. Tenacity. Will you and I keep praying? You see the vision. So again, we've seen her torment. We've seen her test and her tenacity. Now comes the triumph. Jesus said to her in reply, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish. And at that very moment, her daughter was healed. Triumph! And how did that triumph come? It started as torment. It was tested. There was tenacity. And then came triumph. Jesus says, here's how it came. Here's how your victory came. It came through your faith. Your faith. And he says to her, great is your faith. But how was her faith great? And again, don't miss how her faith became great. Her faith became great because despite her torment and despite her test, she had tenacity, and her faith grew and came to the point where Jesus could say to her, now, woman, your faith is great enough. Let it be done as you have said. How strong is your faith? You know, brothers and sisters, I want to give you a teaching that is a hard teaching, but it's a true teaching. And that is simply this, that God is more concerned about your faith than your comfort. God is more concerned about your faith than your financial stability. God is more concerned about your faith than your happiness. The most important thing in your life is your faith, because that is the way that God will save you. We say, no, God, please help my finances. We say, Lord, please help my health. Lord, we say, please give me some healing. All right. And it's not wrong to pray. Don't get me wrong. That's a good thing that you pray. But listen, God will sometimes delay. And God will sometimes allow us to go through very difficult things. Not because he hates us, but because he wants to save us and strengthen our faith. Call out our faith and make it finally strong enough that we can inherit all the promises. But pay attention. What we think is most important, money, health, well-being, happiness, none of those are the most important. The most important thing is your faith and the holiness that comes from it. There is nothing more important to God. And you say, well, this is somewhat cruel. Why should it be this way? Well, listen, all I know is, and most of you are parents, and most of you have raised children, And you know that you had the very same approach with your children. It was more important to you that they learn to do what was right than just be comfortable. If your child woke up on the first day for first grade and said, "Mommy, I'm afraid to go to this new school because people might laugh at me and call me names. So, Mommy, I don't want to go, okay?" And you didn't say, "Okay, dear, just stay in your room and be happy. Be comfortable." You said, "You are going to get up and you are going to get dressed and we're going to that school." Because you see, there are some things that are more important to you than your children's comfort. And they're at least, you know, incidental happiness at the moment. There are just times where we are going to the doctor whether you like it or not. And you see, God has to deal with us this way sometimes too. We are a hard case. Let's just be honest. All of us are a hard case. And God sometimes has to do strong things to grow our faith. But the most precious thing to Him is that our faith be strong, because that is the way we inherit the promises. Faith is what opens the door to our healing, to our holiness, and to our ultimate grasping of salvation. Are you praying with me? And again, it sounds hard at times. We can be just like little children sometimes. "Mommy, I think you hate me. You're making me do something I don't want to do." But you who are mothers know you don't hate your children. You who are fathers, you know that. You only want what's best for your child. And God is sometimes the same with us. And so this woman, in order to come to the kind of faith necessary to receive this gift, Jesus had to allow her to go through torment, through test, show tenacity, and finally come to that point where He could say to her, "Now, great is your faith. Great is your faith." I want to just do one other thing to conclude this homily by saying that tenacity is something that's so important for us to grasp. You know, we often want quick results. We want to pray and get it done yesterday. We want to have our government solve problems instantly. We want to be able to flip a switch and the lights will come on automatically. This is our culture. We want quick, instant, almost instant results. Why should I have to wait for the thing to be delivered? I'll just download it, you know? Quick, quick, quick. But you know, life is really more about chipping away at the issues. And that's why tenacity, holding on and holding out and staying in the conversation with God, is so important. Because much more progress is made through that daily chipping away at the problem. Listen, we all know, for example, I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Big things and then more personal things. We have, in this land, had a terrible struggle with racial justice. And the battle isn't over. You might as well say amen. But don't you know that we've made a tremendous amount of progress in the last 50 years? And we have a distance to go. But what we've been doing is just chipping away at the problem, staying in the conversation with God and with each other. Chipping away, and day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, there's progress. Tenacity. Holding on and holding out until our change comes. And so it is that the Lord also says to us, we have some people here today from the pro-life community. Once again, here too. Abortion is a terrible problem and a terrible grief in our society. But little by little, chipping away at the problem, we're beginning to see the opinion polls changing so that most Americans now identify themselves as pro-life and want to see abortion restricted under most circumstances. Little by little, trying to restore a culture of life. Likewise, the question of poverty. You know, we still have a terrible problem with poverty in this country. But I will say this, any study of history will show you that the poor do not live as horribly as they did in 1900. Today, most of our poor have running water, electricity, even air conditioning. There are still poor, and we cannot tolerate poverty. We've got to keep working. But I tell you, we've made progress by chipping away, by constantly working to give people open doors and make something better of their life. I promise you, chipping away at these problems, tenacity, staying in the conversation, constantly calling on God's help, and working day by day. In my own personal life, I can just say to you, most of you know at one time in my life I was very afflicted by an anxiety demon, anxious about many things. But here I am, probably 16 years out of having had a nervous breakdown, and little by little, just chipping away at the problem. I will not tell you I never get anxious about anything, but I will tell you I don't get anxious about most things. God's been good to me. I stayed in the conversation, and I kept calling out, "Lord, help me!" Little by little, chipping away, tenacity, staying in the conversation with God, not walking away sullen or angry. Whatever your demons, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's a grief you can't let go of, maybe it's a resentment or an anger, maybe it's an addiction, please stay in the conversation. Maybe you're still waiting for a financial blessing, another job. Maybe you're still waiting. Please, I beg you, stay in the conversation. Tenacity. Do not give up on God, even when he seems to be silent, even when he may seem to say, "I don't even want to deal with you," even when it seems that the dogs have more blessings. Stay in the conversation. Okay, we've seen this woman's journey. Praise God. And I want to just conclude by telling you that I have it on the best of authority that as she saw Jesus coming up the road, she began by singing an old gospel song. And she simply said, as she sang, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Keep calling. Shout if you will. Scream if you have to. Stay in the conversation. And realize God may be testing and strengthening and growing your faith, because the most precious thing that you have, according to God, is not your comfort, it's your faith. Stay in the conversation, have tenacity, and let the Lord show you the deliverance from all your difficulties. He will do it, but he may test us and ask us to be tenacious. Lord, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen.